بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما رسالة الشريف اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. It's the promise of Allah and the declaration of the Quran that whosoever performs a virtuous action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow for that good deed to go unrewarded. It's the declaration of the Quran and the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whoever performs a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow for that good deed to go unrewarded. Often in this world, we carry out good deeds, kind gestures, we oblige, we follow the rules. But the authorities, our guardians, those who are over us, they don't notice, they don't observe, they don't acknowledge, they don't reciprocate. Not every good action in this world by the people of the world is noticed, is acknowledged, is accepted from you. However, I want to assure you today, in this masjid, at this blessed moment of Jummah, and just as we come out of the month of Ramadan, I want to assure you, based on the Quran and the Sunnah, that whenever you carry out a good deed for the sake of Allah, regardless how small it may be, Allah will never allow for that good deed to go unrewarded. That good deed will always come to your rescue. That good deed will always help you. That good deed will always support you. This is the rule of Allah. إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. One of Allah's rules in the Quran. Declaration of the Quran and the promise of Allah. Inna la nudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. We will not allow any good deed of anyone's to go unrewarded. Never think, what's the point of this good deed? You might think it's small, it's trivial. It will always come to your rescue and assist you when you need it the most. So the message of today is, continue performing good deeds after Ramadan. That's the message of today. Continue performing good deeds after Ramadan. Ramadan was a month of good deeds. And yes, of course, we're not going to do the same as Ramadan. Ramadan was different. The barakah, the rahmah, the spirituality, the rahmah and the mercy of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, the 10 days of rahmah, 10 days of maghfirah, 10 days of emancipation from hellfire. Of course, we're not in Ramadan anymore. So we're not expecting the same level as Ramadan. What we are saying is, continue whatever good deeds you can do. Because Allah will never allow any good deed to go unrewarded. And He'll bless you in this world as well. In the Akhirah, of course. But in this world, when you need it the most, when you're going through a difficulty, when nothing else can support and aid you, your good deeds will come to your rescue. And this we learn from the Quran and the Sunnah. Ibn Abi Dunya makes mention of an incident that two people met in the marketplace. Iltaqa rajulani fi suq. Two people met in the marketplace. They met together for the sake of business. Now, whilst everybody else was engaged in trade, in buying and selling, one person said to the other, Ta'al nastaghfirullah fi ghaflatin nas. Why don't you and me, whilst everybody else is heedless, unmindful of Allah, why don't me and you speak about Allah for a moment, just for a moment? So they started to speak about Allah for a moment, about Akhirah for a moment, how they can better their lives for a moment. And then they go their own ways. Sometime later, one of them passes away. His friend sees him in a dream and asks him a question. Ma fa'ala Allahu bik? How did Allah deal with you? How did Allah deal with you? He says to him, I want to let you know that the day alimta anna Allah qad ghafara lana, I want to let you know. Do you know that day me and you met in the marketplace? And you said to me, let's speak about Allah for a moment. He says, I've just been told by Allah that Allah granted both of us forgiveness for that one good deed. carry on doing good deeds. Allah will not allow any good deed to go unrewarded. Doesn't matter how small it is, how large it is. But the idea is to continue performing good actions after Ramadan. Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu, later on he becomes a Sahabi. Prior to accepting Islam, he was of a very generous characteristic. He had a very generous nature. Generosity was something he was filled with. He would give a lot of charity even before he came into Islam. So as a non-Muslim, people knew that this is a generous man. And he continued. And later on, he accepts Islam. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have a question for you. He says, fire away. What is your question? He says, will I be rewarded for the good deeds I carried out before Islam? Before Islam, I carried out many good deeds, many charitable projects I carried out. Will Allah reward me for them? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Aslamta ala ma aslafta min khayr. Aslamta ala ma aslafta min khayr. Hakim bin Hizam, let me tell you, it is that very good deed of charitable acts that led you to Islam. It's the barakah of those good deeds that actually granted you and paved a way to Islam for you. Allah will never, this is a non-Muslim, Allah did not allow his actions to go unrewarded in this world. What is to say of you, who is a muwahid, who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So continue doing good deeds. An amazing incident in Sahih al-Bukhari. I've mentioned it many times before, but it's pertinent now to discuss, as we are discussing, how Allah will never allow any good deed, regardless who carries it out, to go unrewarded. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi brings this in his Sahih. Abu Lahab, who is Abu Lahab? The uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His actual name was Abdul Uzza. The reason they called him Abu Lahab, Lahab in Arabic means flame. His cheeks were flamey red. He had this very red, reddish face. And this is why people will call him Abu Lahab, the father of the flame. His name was Abdul Uzza. And as we know, the father of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away before he was born. Abu Lahab had a slave girl called Thuwaiba. Thuwaiba comes to Abu Lahab, who is her master, and gives him the good news and the glad tidings that you've just had a nephew born. This is the maulid and the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She carries the good news. Oh master, guess what? You've just had a nephew. His name is Muhammad. Abu Lahab, in that moment, he realized that his brother has passed away. And now this is his brother's child coming into the world. He rejoiced. He was happy, excited on the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that time, it was a custom. Anybody who brought you a message, you would gift the messenger something. So he said, he pointed his finger to the slave girl Thuwaiba. Thuwaiba, because you brought me such good news, I am so excited that you gave me the good news on the birth of Muhammad. Go, I liberate you. I set you free. Now this was done by who? This was done by Abu Lahab. And who is Abu Lahab? Now, as you know, human nature is, if things are good between us, then we remind each other of the good things that we did. We acknowledge them. As soon as things become a little bit sour, what happens? What happens? We ignore all the good that has happened. Let's take the example of marriages. 20 years of a beautiful marriage, everything's gone well. And then the guy makes a mistake. He does something wrong. And then everybody turns around and says, you know what? Things were bad from the beginning. Things were not bad from the beginning. Things were good from the beginning. Let us learn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People do this. Allah doesn't do this. This is why in the Quran it says, yes, sometimes marriages come to a stage where husband and wife can't see eye to eye anymore. Things were good in the past, but they've turned sour. That's okay. But the Quran says, فَإِمْسَاكٌ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Stay together in a good way or separate in a good way. But none of this swearing and saying, you know what, you've never done anything for me. I've never seen good in your life. That's not true. That's not true. That's not the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never does this. It doesn't matter who you are. If you've done good, Allah will not allow that good to go unrewarded. Who are we talking about? Abu Lahab. Abbas radiallahu anhu, who is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by the way, this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that's why I'm mentioning it. Abbas radiallahu anhu sees a dream. In the dream he sees his brother Abu Lahab. And he says, "Ma fa'ala Allahu bik?" How did Allah deal with you? What does he say? He says, now remember what's happened. What's happened? As they grow up, what happens? This child which was born, he becomes the Nabi of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet of Allah, the paragon of Allah's creation. And his uncle, Abu Lahab, who was rejoicing on his birth, becomes one of his greatest enemies. And he was against him his whole life until he died. Abbas radiallahu anhu sees his brother Abu Lahab in a dream. How is things over there on the other side? He says, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. I'm in the fire of hell. I am burning. However, every Monday, what does he say? Every Monday, I am granted a few droplets of water from over here. Just from here, Allah gives me a few droplets of water. It doesn't take away the punishment of the fire of hell, but it's a marginal reduction in the pain. Just a small reduction. Why? Because he's rejoiced on the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He showed happiness on the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He expressed joy when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And now he is saying, even in Jahannam, if Allah does not allow a good action of an enemy of Allah to go unrewarded, imagine you, my brother and my sister. Imagine the good deeds that you carry out. Do you think Allah will ever allow your good deeds to go unrewarded? Inna la nudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. Know who is Allah and how Allah works. This is one of Allah's systems. You do good, Allah will always show you the benefit of it. In this world and also in the akhirah. If Allah is showing Abu Lahab every Monday because he carried out a kind gesture, don't you think Allah's going to shower you as well? When shaitan comes to you and tells you, what's the point? You're a sinful person. You missed Fajr. Why are you reading Quran today? You did a sin. Why are you? No, don't listen to him. Listen to Allah. Allah is saying, "Inna la nudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala." Anyone who does good, Allah says, I will never allow it to go unrewarded. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the message is, although Ramadan has passed, keep on performing good deeds. Whatever good deeds you can do. It doesn't matter how small it might seem to you at the time. It will always benefit you. And it will rescue you. It will protect you. When you are in need of protection, it is that good deed that will protect you. When you are in danger, it is that good deed that will come to your rescue. When money cannot help you. When influence cannot help you. When your connections cannot help you. It will be your good deeds that will rescue you in the dunya and also in the akhirah. The Quran mentions an incident. And the incident is of the people of the past. A murder took place in the Bani Israel. The Quran mentions this story. A murder takes place. Now the people come to the prophet of the time, who was Musa alayhi salam. And they say to Musa alayhi salam, we need to identify who the murderer is. We need to know. Can you ask Allah for some guidance on this? Musa alayhi salam, being Kareemullah, he spoke to Allah excessively. He goes to Allah and he asks Allah, my people want to know and they want to identify the murderer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the instruction. What's the instruction? Musa alayhi salam says, Allah has told you need to slaughter a cow. Slaughter a cow. Once you slaughter the cow, take a piece of flesh of the cow. Strike it on the deceased and the dead person. The dead person will wake up and he will tell you who the murderer is and then die again. Simple. That's all they had to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَهُ بَقَرَةً Suratul Baqarah. We have, don't we, in the Quran. Suratul Baqarah. This is the true story of the cow. Not the rubbish we're hearing about the red heifers nowadays, which has been, they've just messed this whole story up and presented a fairy tale. This is a fairy tale. This is not an Islamic story, what you're hearing about the red heifers and the red cows. That when the red cows will come and they will be burnt and their ashes will be mixed with water and sprinkled on individuals. This will summon the arrival of the Antichrist and the Dajjal. These are fairy tales. This is made up fabrication. We don't believe in any of this. This is not Islamic. The Islamic story of the cow, which has been twisted and manipulated, is this particular one in Suratul Baqarah of the Quran. Yes, it is to do with a dead person. It is to do with somebody that was murdered. But the actual story is the one I'm about to tell you now. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَىٰ لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَهُ بَقَرَةً. Allah commands you, you must slaughter a cow. So the people said, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَىٰ. Is Allah taking the mick out of us? Why would He tell us if someone's died, why does He want us to slaughter a cow? Well, this is what Allah told you to do. When Allah tells you to do something, you do it. You don't question Him. So this was the line of questioning. This is how the Bani Israel behaved with their prophet and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ إِنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Musa alayhi salam said, don't speak like this. You think I'm an ignorant person? Would I tell you that Allah has told me to tell you if Allah hadn't told me? Why are you speaking like this? This is what Allah has said. Don't you believe me? Don't you trust me? Then they said, okay, if Allah's told us to slaughter a cow, now all they had to do is go and find any cow, slaughter the cow, take a flesh of the cow, strike it on the deceased person, and they would have identified the murderer. However, they didn't want to take the straight path. They wanted to go the long way. So instead now they say, قَالُ دُعْلَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. Musa, can you go and ask Allah, what color should this cow be? So you want to know the color of the cow? Like color, you could take any cow. No, we want to know which color cow it should be. So then Musa alayhi salam goes back to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Baqaratun safra faqi'ul lawnuha tasurrun nadhirin. This has to be a bright cow. A very bright cow. Safra generally means yellow. And some scholars of Arabic language said, previously, many Arabs refer to safara as a bright red color as well. But generally, we understand it as being yellow. Tasurrun nadhirin, pleasing to the eye. Anyone seeing this cow, they would be really impressed. So now they had to go and find any yellow cow. But instead, they started asking, how old should this cow be? How old should it be? Should it be young, old? So Allah says, okay, not too old, not too young. Awanum bayna dhalik, in between. Okay, should this cow be one that's used for farming or is just used for grazing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave more details. Okay, it can't be one. La dhalulun tuthirul ard, wa la taskil harth. Should it have any patterns on it? Musallamatul la shiyata fiha, Quran said. It should be one with no blemish. Now there's so many descriptions they need to fulfill the criteria. It was so easy. The deen of Allah is easy. Don't complicate it. Islam is easy. Don't complicate it like the people before you complicated it. They complicated it then. They're complicating things now. So now these people go out on a journey to find this cow. And they search. And they search. It's not like today where you go into Auto Trade and you can just put the filters on. Okay, Birmingham, Aston, yellow, no spots, no marks, this reg, this year. You couldn't do that. You had to manually go and search for the searching, and they're searching, and they're searching, and eventually, can we all stand up and keep moving forward because people are trying to make space at the back? So they're searching for this cow, and eventually, they go to this remote farm, and on this remote farm, they find this young lad who's living in the corner of this farm in the middle of nowhere, and he had this cow. He was surprised to see such a large group of people turn up on his doorstep. So he asked, like, what are you doing here? He said, we want this cow. He said, you can't have this cow. This is my only means and source of income. I live off this cow. He said, we need this cow. Well, I can't give it to you. He said, do you have a price? Name the price. When you're in a desperate situation, you will do anything. He said, okay, if you insist, I want the weight of this cow in gold. He said, we're willing to pay you. They pay him the weight of the cow in gold. فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. The Quran says they sacrificed and slaughtered the cow. And they were very close that they weren't going to do it. Anyhow, my point of relating this story is, when you look at the tafsir of this ayah of the Quran, you open the books of tafsir, you will find, the scholars have mentioned, how did this young child overnight become a millionaire? How did overnight this child in the middle of nowhere, living hand to mouth, how did he become a millionaire where he received the weight of his cow in gold? How? The ulama mentioned he had one good deed. He was very dutiful to his mother. He was very obedient to his mother. He had served his mother for many, many years. And Allah showed him the rewards, or the partial reward, should I say, and the benefit of that good deed in this world. Inna la nudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. Allah will never allow any good deed that you do to go unrewarded. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn that any good deed that you do, regardless of what it is, it's always going to be accepted. Now I conclude by mentioning the story of the three individuals in the cave. It's in Sahih al-Bukhari. We can't go into the detail because time doesn't allow. But it's exactly the same thing. Three people got stuck in a cave. A boulder came and blocked the entrance of the cave. They couldn't get out. And you and I are in situations where we don't see a way out. We don't see a way out. Money is not always the answer. Sometimes people think, okay, oh, you can't do it. Oh, I've got another card. Try this one. That's not always the answer. That is not always the answer. Some people are so poor, all they have is money. Your money is not going to save you on the day of judgment. Your money is not going to save you in the qabr. And as you know, on many occasions, we face situations in our life that money is not the answer to everything. These three individuals were stuck in a cave. No credit card was going to take them out. They looked at each other and they said, what can we do? How can we save ourselves from this situation? The people of Gaza now, they are stuck. As Muslims, as an ummah, we are stuck. We're in a situation. And as individuals, we face times in our lives where we are in a dark place, in a difficult situation. We don't see a way out. What did they say? They say there is no way out. There is no way we can come out from here unless we ask Allah through the intercession of our good deeds. They said, why don't we all think of one good deed that we've done only for the sake of Allah? Only for the sake of Allah. And they started thinking, like you and I, we need in our reserves to have some kind of spiritual investment that when we fall into trouble and in need, we can tap into those reserves. And each one of them presented a good deed that they had done. I ask you, if you were the fourth individual in that cave, if you were the fourth individual in that cave, what good deed of yours would you have presented to Allah that He would? And what they did, each one of them presented their good deed. And they said, oh Allah, if I did this only for your sake, save us. And the boulder started to move. And as they said their deeds, the boulder moved completely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. The message of today is, no matter how small it is, continue carrying out good deeds for yourself, for your family, for our community, and largely for the global ummah as well, and the crisis the Muslims are going through. Our good deeds, this is what the ummah needs. This is what the ummah, we need good deeds. Good deeds will attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ramadan, you attended the masjid, let's not abandon the masjid. In Ramadan, we performed our salah, let's not abandon our salah. In Ramadan, we recited Quran, let's not abandon the Quran. In Ramadan, we stayed away from haram, let's not abandon our taqwa. Let's not, yes, Ramadan is over. Islam isn't over. Ramadan is over. Allah isn't over. Ramadan is over, but our beautiful religion isn't over. Yes, Ramadan has ended. That doesn't mean we disconnect from Allah and wait till next Ramadan. Yes, we've disconnected from Ramadan because Ramadan ended. But does that mean now I should disconnect with Allah? It's sad because this is what actually happens. Ramadan comes to an end. And a lot of us intentionally, consciously choose to disconnect from Allah. And this is sad. This is sad. So what we need is we want to abandon sins as much as possible. And if we can't, then make sure we don't abandon the good deeds. Because your good deeds will help you and rescue and protect you. When no one and nothing else can. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.